This Marketplace podcast is supported by Deloitte Private, offering business insight and strategies tailored to the needs of privately held companies to help them navigate today's uncertainty and build resilience. Online at Deloitte.com/US/COVID.
Hey, everybody, it's Kai Ryssdal. Thanks for joining us on this bonus episode of the Corner Office Podcast. We've got another one coming out later today. Real good one, actually, with the CEO of Fannie Mae, the big mortgage company. But we've got another interview that's in the news, so we wanted to share it. The other day, Larry Fink, the CEO of the giant asset management company BlackRock, they do pensions and mutual funds, also active investing, stuff like that. He wrote an open letter to corporate CEOs in this economy about social responsibility, about how companies ought to be thinking not just about profits, but about making, and this is a quote, a positive contribution to society. It's kind of a big deal, coming from a guy who runs a company with $6 trillion in investments that he manages. So we called him up. Here he is, Larry Fink, the founder and CEO of BlackRock.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Larry Fink, welcome to the program.
It's nice to be here.
You write CEO letters every year. Why this message this time?
Well, the message has been formed over many years, and I think each year we refine the message. The primary purpose of writing these letters is the investment world is changing and evolving. We're seeing trillions of dollars of money moving into index funds, and we're the largest index provider in the world in the form of the index funds and ETFs. The power that we have representing all our investors is the power of our vote. We are focused on helping our shareholders to try to improve the performance of these companies over a long horizon. And so the letter is, one, a reminder to chairman and CEOs that we are the ultimate long-term investor. We are interested in working with companies over a long horizon, over a long period of time. The key point that I wrote about this year is, I think there's more pressure on public and private companies than ever before.
Yeah.
Obviously, the number one responsibility of a leader of a company and his or her board is performance, doing the job that you're seeking out, earning the returns that will substantiate those people's investments in your company.
Yeah, but let me try to nail you down a little bit on that point, right? Because it sort of seems like in this letter, you are backing away, maybe even just a hair, from this idea of companies and boards and CEOs have to maximize shareholder value, that really there is in capitalism in this country right now a broader responsibility. Am I reading that right?
So I think you're reading it right. Let me step back for a second. In other countries, specifically in Europe, long-term shareholder standards are not just maximizing return, but also focusing on society's needs. So depending on where you are managing that money, there are different society values. In the United States, I think we have been guided for years and years and years on that notion of the maximization of shareholder value.
Right.
Let's be clear. I still believe the number one responsibility of companies is to maximize shareholder value. However, I believe the demand on companies, both public and private, is to achieve a long-term maximization of return is to focus on social and environmental issues.
Okay, so what does that look like? What is a company's social purpose supposed to be then?
Well, a company's job is to serve their shareholders. A company's job is to serve its employees. And that has been broken down dramatically, historically. I'm sure your father or your grandfather had a defined benefit plan. And so when they retired with the company's pension fund. As we disengage from the defined benefit business into a defined contribution way of investing for retirement, that responsibility has been separated from the company back to the employee. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of the big problems we have in the world today, that the employees are not as engaged. And I think we're going to find that to be a bigger problem. I think the most engaged employees, the employees who believe in their company's purpose, are going to be the companies that are going to perform the best over the long run. So getting back to my answer, it's shareholders, it's employees, it's in the in the communities where they operate.
Okay, so you have given the 1,000 or so CEOs who got this letter, you've given them a little something of a talking to, right? This is fairly stern language coming from Larry Fink, right?
I would call it stern language.
It was fairly sober. I'll tell you that. I mean, you basically said, "We've got the power of our votes. We're going to be watching you, and you have to do better."
We want every leader of a company and his or her board to focus on the long term, and we are representing our shareholders who need long term returns, and we believe long term returns are economic. And the greatest way of getting great economic returns over a long horizon is thinking about those other points, too. It is not just making a profit and possibly doing things negative societally or to their employees or anything else. We believe companies need purpose.
Okay, so here comes the put up or shut up question. Let's say Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, got your letter yesterday, read it, and he gave you a call, and he said, "Hey, listen, Larry, thanks for the note. I appreciate it. But I got to do what I got to do with my company. So thanks very much." Are you seriously going to pull your investments, your active investments, as opposed to your index funds, your active investments out of Apple?
No, because my active investors have their own responsibility in the active side to determine how they vote. Okay, we have sanctity of the vote. We have a team, an independent team, that is voting on behalf of all the index funds. And there's a committee in how they vote. They inform the active manager. The active manager, he or she, can determine whether that vote is in accordance to how they think, and they will vote accordingly. I would say 98% of the time, the active managers agree with our proxy stewardship team. Mm-hmm. But there are 1 or 2% at times where we may have a split vote. So you may see a split vote. In fact, I could think of 1 or 2 most recently where there was a split vote where the active team did not agree in totality with the bulk of our investment teams.
Let me try to drill down a little bit into your motivations for sending this. Obviously, you've been in this game a long time. You understand what companies try to do and the role of companies in this society. I was struck, though, by this line. You say in this letter, "We also see many governments failing to prepare for the future." Do I take you to mean that companies now have to step up where governments are failing?
I hope all companies will be stepping up and thinking about the long term. I think the realities are there are many governments who can't get out of its own way. They're focusing on short-termism. I'm not going to cite which countries, but there are many countries that have not been able to provide the long-term services to many of their population. I do believe there are greater and greater responsibilities at the corporate level, and I think corporations, if they're going to have engaged employees, they're going to have engaged shareholders, and more importantly, if they're going to have truly engaged clients, I believe companies who are focusing on the long-term issues that I presented in my letter, I think those companies will be stronger, better, more profitable in the future.
Do you think capitalism needs to change? Is that fair?
I think capitalism is a function of society's needs. I think capitalism changes throughout, you know, the life of capitalism, in the modern world. I don't think capitalism, just like technology, is static. I think it evolves and it changes. And I think capitalism, if it's static, it is not evolving with society. And I think capitalism has to evolve with society. And I do believe the best companies adapt and grow and are leaders of change. I think America is the greatest place for dynamic capitalism. And I do believe we're very good at evolving and changing. And I do believe we're witnessing a time and place now where we are seeing the better companies, more engaged for the long term. I mean, we're having great dialogues with chairmen and CEOs of various companies who are really engaged and focusing on trying to perform better for the long term. They're less focused on the quarterly return. They're focusing on the needs of their employees. They're focusing on how best to be better for their clients. And ultimately, if you're good for your employees and good for your clients, you're truly good for your shareholders. It generally all works together. In fact, we do studies. We do deep big data analysis, and we could prove that when employees are happy with their companies, and you could get all this information because so many people on blogs and on searches are talking about, their company. When companies have high employee satisfaction, those company stocks perform very well. When companies have very low employee engagement and satisfaction, those companies generally perform very poorly. So there is a connection between long-term performance and engaged employees, willing and growing client bases, and importantly, an engaged management team with its board.
Other than calls from journalists, has anybody who's gotten this letter called you?
Oh, I must have I've received hundreds and hundreds of emails from the CEOs that received the letter, and I've received numerous phone calls or emails from different business and political leaders.
So what's your follow-up on this one, Mr. Fink? How are you going to keep track of whether companies are doing what you need them to do?
Well, we have a team that is engaged that's doing it. I said it in the letter, we're doubling the size. We are going to have the largest and the most engaged corporate stewardship team. I put one of the founding partners to be heading it, and Barbara Novick has been very engaged in this. And I think we are going to make a difference for our shareholders, not the shareholders of BlackRock, but the shareholders in our funds. Our number one job is to make sure that we are providing the returns over a long run for our clients. And so we believe engagement with companies is becoming more and more important. And engagement with companies is not just during a proxy season. I think that was a mistake that many companies probably thought in the past. What I've asked in the letter, and I did this last year too, be engaged with us throughout the year. Inform us of your long-term strategies. Inform us of how you're pivoting if there's a change in technology or a change in a corporate position. But be engaged with us, and then we could be very supportive of you.
You know, I was about to let you go, and I apologize for doing this, but I need to circle back to something, to the theme that has run through this conversation, and then I promise I'll let you get off the phone. You've talked a lot about the long term and how you want the companies in whom clients invest to be in it for the long term. But it does seem like you are spitting into the wind here, because there is no more industry or sector of this economy that is focused on the short term than Wall Street. Virtually by the minute, companies are tracking how they're doing and what's up. And I wonder if this task is not Sisyphean.
I left Wall Street a little over 30 years ago to form BlackRock. So we are.
But it hasn't changed much, right?
Well, I'm not part of Wall Street. We are a long-term investment manager who is trying to be as strong a fiduciary to our clients and to our shareholders as anyone. We believe by being engaged over the long run that will produce better long-term returns on behalf of our investors and, importantly, our shareholders. And I do believe in our 30 years, we've done that. And more importantly, in the last 18 years as a public company, our stock has compounded about a 24% compounded return over the last 18 years.
So you know a little bit something about Wall Street, even though you left it 30 years ago.
I started my career there 12 years ago, and you're correct. Wall Street is based on velocity of money.
Right, right.
And the velocity of money is just it's no different than the media business. It's about clicks. Unfortunately, both.
Ouch.
That's why I think that's why the media and banking is so connected, because both businesses is based on clicks and the speed of information.
That is not wrong.
Okay, the investing side, and this is the problem we have, if we got more Americans focusing on their outcome of retirement, not the moment, not the day, not the noise of the day, not the political environment today, but saying, I got a 40-year obligation to save enough money and earn enough money from that saving so I could live in retirement in dignity, that I may enjoy extra longevity because I've lived healthy, and I'm going to live that extra longevity also in dignity. I'm going to have enough savings that I don't have to rely on anybody else. That's the ultimate dream. And if we don't get more people focusing on the long-termism of retirement and the needs to invest for the long term, then you know, then we're all going to fail. And I do believe some of the, and I cited this in the letter, some of the uncertainty that we see in society today is based on the fear of the future, the fear that I don't have enough for retirement. I'm going to have to work longer. And I truly wish we had a more engaged dialogue about the need to save over the long run, the need to invest over the long run. And I would say that's the foundation of this letter, is to have people refocus on the long term. And as you said, this may be a losing proposition because media, banking, it's about speed of information and clicks. And we are trying to communicate differently. We're trying to be more engaged. But I do believe we've had great success as a firm in our 30 years because we were consistently focusing on, A, being a fiduciary to our clients first, and secondarily, what we mean by that is focusing on the long term. And the genesis of the letter was about having CEOs and boards, having them, when they focus on their own company, they focus on performance over the long run.
Larry Fink is the chairman, the founder, and the CEO of BlackRock. Mr. Fink, thanks very much for your time, sir. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right, that's it for my conversation with Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, about why he thinks companies in this economy need to think more about social responsibility, maybe a little bit less about profits. We did, by the way, a whole series on Marketplace about how companies came to put so much emphasis on this thing that has come to be called shareholder value. It's called The Price of Profits. You can find it on our website, marketplace.org. Also, if you're already subscribed to this podcast, you might want to check out our other episode dropping today, my in-depth conversation with the CEO of Fannie Mae. Look for that one. It's all about the financial crisis and where this economy is going to go from here. This episode was produced by Sean McHenry. Corner Office Podcast is produced by Bridget Bodner. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Satara Nieves is the executive director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. I'm Kai Rizdal. Thanks a lot for listening.